Now, family and friends of the late Carl Henderson have organised a sponsored walk up Errigal this Sunday in his memory on the 6th month anniversary of his sudden passing. On Saturday, April 26th, the husband and father of three was hiking on Errigal when he suffered a medical event, and despite the best efforts of the emergency services, sadly, he lost his life. It took over 50 minutes for a land ambulance to reach him in the mountain path, and the closest defib was located around about the same amount of time away. And there are moves well advanced now to make sure that's not the case any longer. Caroline Henderson is Carl's wife and joins him now. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's so lovely to see you again. How are you keeping with this walk just around the corner now?
It's been really good for me to find something positive coming out of this. And the outpouring of love and support has been amazing. So thank you to everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you've been really selfless and incredibly brave to use your experience to try and help others. We spoke previously about the contacting protocols, didn't we? And also to now looking to get a defib on site. And it's almost unbelievable one wasn't there before now, Caroline.
Yes, yeah, it was really the thing that was missing on the day that Carl did suffer a cardiac arrest. So I really hope that nobody has to go through this in the future. And it's peace of mind for anybody else that's going to climb up, you know, especially when Errigal attracts 40,000 visitors a year. And with the new path, you see more and more people going there. So it'll be a legacy for Carl that safety net's now going to be there in place, because we've nearly raised 10,000 euros right to date.
How does that feel to have such a positive response like that?
It's very, very comforting in this early stages of unimaginable grief for myself. And it's going to be a really good comfort for the children. You know, the twins are still only 6. They find it hard to process their dad's death. But when they grow up and they see the outpouring from the whole community in Donegal, here in Moira, in England, and, you know, we've had donations from as far as New Zealand and Hong Kong, it's just a wonderful legacy for Carl. And it is intended. It's going to help others.
Yeah, and what total do you need for the defib?
We need about 10,000 euros, and we still have some money to come in. So we're hoping that Donegal Mountain Rescue Team will benefit significantly as well. You know, they cover the whole of Donegal wide and they get no funding, and they have been amazing. And, you know, without their support on the day Carl died, they couldn't have kept doing CPR when they got him in the helicopter. So, you know, knowing that they did everything they could and they got him to Letterkenny Hospital and they still kept trying, has been amazing peace of mind for myself, and I know it will be for the children in the future when they grow up.
Yeah.
And our family and friends.
And listen, we know that, or we don't know what impact a defibrillator on site might have had for Carl or for anyone else, God forbid, that suffers cardiac arrest on the mountain. But what we do know is that a defib being there in the right location will give people into the future the very best chance of survival. And we know it does play a really important part.
Yeah, and every minute counts, and it could, you know, we don't know, but it could have been the chance for myself and the children to have said goodbye to Carl, which would have been really important for us.
Caroline, can you remind us just of what you mentioned to us before about, you know, how long it took you to find out and what have you? Because I just think it's really important, and I don't want to waste an opportunity for you to get that point across again.
Yeah, just, you know, if anybody's going through this and someone has a cardiac arrest or you need to ring 999, please, please, please contact their next of kin, you know, their wife, whoever lives in their home with them. You know, they need to know within minutes. And it was a very long 2.5 hours. And I find it really hard to process that length of waiting time. So I'd just like to get that message out to everybody. You know, thanks for everything everyone did in the day. And in the future, please ring their wife, their husband, their son, their daughter, their mum, their dad, their next of kin within minutes of the 999 call, please.
Yeah, and you wanted to, I think, get some sort of an official protocol in place, if I remember correctly. How's that progressing?
It's progressing. I spoke to the head of the ambulance service. He was very kind and got in contact after the last radio interview, so thank you for the opportunity. JJ, and he's going to speak to the relevant people. I'm in contact with Letterkenny Hospital, and I've certainly been in contact with the Garda. So it would be lovely in the future to see all of those multi-agencies coming together and making sure we had a really good plan in place, that this doesn't happen to the next family member. You know, because that gap is really hard to live with is Carl's wife, and it would be great if I'd managed to get to Letterkenny Hospital when the helicopter arrived. And looking at the time scale, I certainly could have done that, and I could have been there and held his hand at the point he was declared dead.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's going to be progress with that, and I really hope all the multi-agencies will work with me to ensure the next family has a more positive experience in the worst day of their life.
And that's what Sunday is going to be, a positive experience, I hope, in the wake of the worst day of your life, because people are still being invited to climb Errigal this Sunday. And if you're inclined to do so, you're asked to gather at the old school in Dunluey next to Rorty's shop. Participants can collect wristbands between 11 a.m. and 11:30. A free park and ride shuttle bus sponsored by Cronin McFadden will operate from 11:30 to bring participants to the starting point, with the climb beginning in staggered groups from 11:45. And organisers are urging everyone who plans to return to pre-register or plans to attend to pre-register online and make use of the free park and ride shuttle bus on the day. And donations to fund the defibrillator and support the amazing work. There are 4th emergency services, the Donegal Mountain Rescue, but they're completely voluntary and rely on donations. So get on to idonate.ie and /crowdfunder /climb for Carl. And you can search Climb for Carl on Eventbrite too to book your place on the climb and to support you, Caroline, and the twins and the family generally in what you are doing, because it's a legacy, right? And it's something Carl and you will leave behind and will prove to be a lifesaver into the future. And what more could you do than try and best avoid someone going through what you have had to go through and are going through?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that time. And we've just been given 40 hats. So the first 40 people that come on Sunday will get a free hat.
Yes, and for our sins, we're participating as well. Myself, Caroline Orr is definitely going to be there, and Shannon Wilkins, the 9 till noon team, because obviously we're so moved by your story, and we want to be there as well. So we are going to join in. Hopefully it'll be good crack. My first foot on Errigal.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming to join us. We're really pleased that you're able to come. And anyone else that wants to sign up is very welcome too. And any donations. Thank you.
Of course. And we'll post all those details on our socials as well. You will get a good rush coming up to the day, because we do leave things, although people have been incredibly generous. But this is for everyone. You know, it's to back you, it's to back Carl and the kids, but it's also for everyone. And to support the Donegal Mountain Rescue Team, who are awesome too. As you are, Caroline, thank you so much. You're doing your hobby very, very proud. I hope you know that.
Thank you very much.
Look after yourself. Bye-bye. That's Caroline Henderson there. If you need those details, by the way, and you want to join that walk, join us as well. We're going to do it, me, Caroline, and Shannon. Caroline was kind of leaving what I suppose in political terms might be called an off-ramp, because she said she doesn't have wet gear, which is absolutely a load of nonsense. I know she's out walking all the time. So there'll definitely be three of us, me, Caroline, and Shannon, joining with 80, 90, 100 others in climbing Errigal to... I mean, we'll donate, but it's also really to back Caroline and what she's trying to do in memory of Carl, her hobby there. And there's a lovely picture actually I saw in one of the papers of Carl, who was a real sort of outdoorsy type person, I remember from our last conversation, with his wife, Caroline, and the three lovely children running towards them in a wooded area. It really is a lovely, lovely picture. And they clearly are a lovely family. You can tell that from chatting to that lady, can't you? Morning all, says a listener. I was at Knightsbridge Hospital in Belfast, and it was an ankle injury that's been going on for nearly 2 years. I paid for an MRI scan, many trips to physio, seen locally, no answers there. I was seen for half an hour. Doctor knew right away the problem, gave me an injection, which was a relief to ease the pain. But it's a long way to go for an injection that surely could be done in Donegal or my GP surgery. The care in Knightsbridge was so good. I mean, there are options now. There are different sort of ways to access healthcare, not just privately, not just publicly with the GP or the hospital, but there are private outfits out there. I'm not sure if they could have helped. I'd imagine possibly they could, but I'm glad you've got relief though. And hopefully those services, if they're not available here, should be available here. Hi, Greg. Our Highland Radio covering the count in Aura tomorrow. It's different to the national and it's different to the Dáil and local elections. So we are going to be there. But there's not a wealth of information. It's going to be a quiet enough atmosphere. I think there's certain parties aren't actually even attending, or if they are, they're going to turn up very, very late. So the council staff, the counting staff will be there busying themselves counting. I do understand that some of the parties involved and individuals involved have got together a tallies people group. So they'll be tallying, and hopefully they'll be keeping an eye on all three candidates on the ballot paper and the spoiled votes as well, because we really want to get a sense of where Donegal is going in relation to this. And it depends who votes today. The opinion polls aren't actual votes, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Yeah, so we'll be there from 12 to 1. I mentioned a little earlier, we've got Michaela Clark with us on the floor. We have John McAteer, Paddy Rooney, Dr. Joe Kelly and myself. We're going to be on air from 12 to 1. And if the content is there, we'll extend it out for a bit on our social media exclusively as well. So we're keeping all our options open. But it's not going to be breakneck speed, general stroke local election coverage, because it's simply not there. And there's no declaration on the day. That is made nationally. So we'll only get a sense of what's going on. There won't be any sort of declared outcome for Donegal. It's just not the way the presidential election is done.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Coltis Kiltery Éireann presents Cargis, celebrating connections. A spectacular evening of music, song and dance on Tuesday, 28th of October at 8 p.m. in Angrenan Theatre, Letterkenny, as part of their national tour. Experience Ireland's best traditional musicians, singers and dancers with narration by Kiana Campbell and Dermot DeFeature. Tickets from the theatre box office, website or Letterkenny Coltis branch members.
Shannon Airport has handy parking, famously short queues, great people, seamless security and amazing destinations. It's the shortcut to your next holiday, like Broadway in New York, croissants in Paris, tapas in Madrid, or reindeer rides in Lapland. So whatever the destination, enjoy a hassle-free airport experience. Shannon Airport, making it easy.
Us pigeons see everything when we're flapping around up here.
Well, almost everything.
See, burning certain fumes releases invisible toxic pollutants, which can trigger asthma and lead to serious illness. So if you're going to light a fire in your home, make sure to use low smoke fuel. Oh, and never wing at burning rubbish.
Choosing low smoke fuel is better for all of us. Let's clear the air for everyone. And remember to clean chimneys and heating appliances at least once a year. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
There's a real autumn feeling at Kenny. The perfect time to enjoy a coffee or explore your favourite shops. Discover more choice, more style and more to enjoy than ever before in Kenny. Brought to you by Shop LK.
You value bank holidays that bring more to the table, like exciting Lidl Plus offers. Roastworthy Bord B approved whole medium chicken, 14% off now £4.29. And Stoutstanding Guinness Savings, 15 pack was £29.50, now £24.85 plus deposit. Lidl, more to value. Get the facts for drinkaware, visit drinkaware.ie.
It's the Donegal Creamery's Milk €500 Cash Splash. We're giving away €500 in cash every week. Scan the QR code on promotional packs of Donegal Creamery's Milk and you could be making a splash with €500 cash. Pick up special packs of Donegal Creamery's Milk in store to find out more. Terms and conditions apply. The €500 Cash Splash with Donegal Creamery's Milk.
Shekalaha Ama Highland Radio. Arna Dortugat ag Airgrid. Uproar agus Forbor an go Letrahas na Héireann. Airgrid.
The time now is 17 minutes past 11. Now, the Cargis tour will take place in venues across Ireland. In fact, it is beginning on the 25th to the 31st of October. And the show will take place in our own Angrenan Theatre, Letterkenny, on Tuesday, the 28th of October. And the producer of this year's tour is Ray Conway. And Ray joins me on the line now. Hi, Ray.
Morning, Greg.
So, lots of prep, all ready to go to hit the road.
Yeah, just about. Now, we're opening tomorrow evening at the Kulturlin in Monkstown, and that's when it kicks off. And from there, we're going to the Thon Theatre in Dundalk, then on to the Assembly Buildings in Belfast, and we're coming to yourself there in Letterkenny on Tuesday, next Tuesday, 28th, and then we're on to Ballina, Cushnahowna in Innes, and we're finishing up at Brew Baroo in Cashel on Friday the 31st, Halloween.
Yeah, it's a busy run, isn't it? Compact, busy run, and we're very lucky to have been chosen up here. We're being told not to miss the chance to experience the tour. Talk to me about the show and what people can look forward to on Tuesday.
Well, the show is called Corgis, and it's a new show from Cultus called Tori Aaron, and Corgis is the Irish word for friendship. So the focus on the show is on friendship and also celebrating connections. So the show will involve words, music, song and dance, and we're going to bring the audience on a unique journey, looking at how that Irish concept of gorgeous friendship is central to our culture and how that has kind of forged connections between people and communities down through our history and on to the present day.
And that obviously then has to incorporate our reels, our jigs, our ballads, you know, dance more generally.
Yeah, we have dancing, we have singing, we have seven musicians, all of which are All Ireland title holders. And in fact, between them, they have over 50 All Ireland titles, and that's just the musicians. We have two singers. We have Karen Trench, again, an All-Ireland winner from Kerry, you know, very, very accomplished traditional singer. And we have Anthony Cairns. Some of your listeners might know him from the Irish Tenors. So we're delighted to have Anthony on board.
Yep.
And then we have our dancers as well, of course, and our two narrators, Sienna Campbell, who worked with RTE for many years, and Dermot DeFuicia, who might be known to your listeners from his work in Ross na Rún and on TG Cahir and in theatres around the country.
I think the fact that the people that you've gathered together and the fact that the theme also is friendship is really quite fitting, because my experience of the Irish traditional music scene up here is that it is also an amazing way to harness and develop friendships and intergenerational friendships as well. I think that's the most amazing thing. You can see someone 8 years of age performing with someone 88 years of age or beyond. So it all really is quite fitting with the genre, I think.
Well, it is actually. And the show covers that element as well. It covers how traditional culture, particularly music, brings people together and has brought people together. I mean, Cultus as an organization has been going since 1951 and, you know, quietly working away, you know, to bring the traditional arts to people around the country. They run many, many music lessons, as you say, for young people. But one of their biggest events of the year is Fla Ceoil na hÉireann. And, you know, many people have heard of Fla Ceoil na hÉireann, but not so many people might know that Cultus actually organised that. And
yeah.
Every year on year, that's becoming a bigger, more popular event. I mean, you had it yourself in Letterkenny, I think.
We want it back. Ray.
In the 70s. And it seems everybody
yeah.
wants it
yeah.
now. It was
yeah.
in Wexford last year. I think they estimated that there were 800,000 people had attended it over the week in Wexford. And next year it's coming to Belfast, which is will be quite a historic event. And this tour kind of reflects on that as well, because one of the aspects of friendship that we look at in the show is that idea of how the hand of friendship was extended between the communities in the north of Ireland, and how that has had such you know, an impact on us today in terms of the peace process. So I suppose our theme is wide, and it covers not just our own culture, but also how our culture has been influenced by other cultures in terms of sort of exchange of music. And one of the aspects that we have with the show is that for every venue we go to, we're going to have an opening act from another culture, from some culture that's made their home here in Ireland. And in Letterkenny, we're going to have a Zimbabwean performer called Future Index Moyo.
Mm-hmm.
Hope I'm getting that right. And he's head of an a cappella group called Anevi Vane, and he'll be doing singing for us. He'll also be doing some drumming and a gumboot dance.
Yeah, we were so blessed, Ray, a few months back. I think it was part of the Errigal Arts Festival where we had traditional Irish musicians in with us, African musicians. I can't remember all of the continents and countries that were represented. All instruments that were very different, but all kind of had their same roots somewhere, if you know what I mean, and the way and styles in which they were played. It was really quite remarkable to hear an African instrument playing a jig, if you know what I mean, but it married perfectly.
And this is the amazing thing, and it's actually the part of the title of our show, you know, is celebrating connections. And culture really, really does connect people. Music, song, no matter where you look in the world, you will find those connections, those similarities, because, you know, everybody can relate to music.
Well, you know, it was the one common language in the room that morning. That's the simplest way I could put it. It was the one language that guests could speak, and they could play it brilliantly.
It is, and even if we don't understand each other's words, we understand music. And even if we hear a beautiful song in a different language, it can still move us. So our show, Gorgeous, it's a lot about that as well.
You know, and I would say you're going to see multi-generational, cross-generational audiences right across the country, not least here in Letterkenny. Ray, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. We can't wait to see the results of all the hard work and all the talent that will be present on stage and maybe somewhat off stage. But anyway, thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Greg.
Look after yourself. That's Ray Conway there. And it's a limited tour. It's a countrywide tour, but it's a limited tour. So if you want to see the Gorgeous tour, you have to get to the box office at Dungreen on Theatre and book your ticket for this Tuesday, the 28th of October. We're told that it starts at 8 p.m, by the way, and we're told the concert will be an unforgettable journey through the live tradition of Ireland, from exhilarating reels and lively jigs to moving ballads and dance. Every performance will reflect the bonds of friendship that keep the tradition alive and thriving. So that's something nice for you potentially to look forward to on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Call the Dungreon box office to secure your ticket there. Right, let's see. I was going to take a break, but I do have time for other stuff that's coming in. I need to play some requests, actually. Good luck to Sean Hume and Lee McGeever getting married today from all the Hume aunties and uncles, and lots of people playing nice requests for Lee McGeever and Sean Hume. All the best on your wedding day. Lots of love, Mum and Dad. Another request for you, the wedding taking place in Carrigart. Lots of love from Kerry and Paul. Lily and Sean wishing you all the best for your wedding day from Lisa, Daniel, Ryan and Kira. Leah and Sean, Lily and Sean getting married. Wish you both all the best on your wedding day. Love from Kira and Evan, I beg your pardon. I always say Evan instead of Evan. My apologies. Let me see. There was another request. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's a comment. Right, I'll come back to it in a second. Maybe I am fully up to date. I know there was something I did want to read. Right, so we were discussing yesterday concerns about a wind farm at Drumquin. We were speaking to a lady, a local resident, who said, look, there's a lot of wind farms around the place. This is the last hill without one. This was her testimony. It's a hill of historical importance, but it's also closer to the village, the town, and they are concerned about it. ABO Energy, they say, is currently exploring the potential for a wind farm development at Dunnery Hill, comprising 6 turbines and associated development with a maximum tip height of 150 metres. They say renewable energy projects like this are crucial to achieve security of supply, create economic investment and benefit and support the delivery of Northern Ireland's renewable energy target as they move away from damaging fossil fuels. For the Dunnery Hill wind farm proposal, independent estimates forecast as a minimum it can reduce CO2 emissions by 34,500 tonnes a year, generate business rates of over €435,000 per year, of which around 47% will go to Fermanagh and Omagh District Council, provide a local community benefit fund of over 54 grand, over 1.89 million over a 35-year period. They say the project's been designed in accordance with the relevant guidelines as set out in legislation, planning policy and local development plans. The proposal, they say, is at an early stage and they are committed to engaging meaningfully with the local community before finalising and submitting a planning application. And as part of their planning application consultation, they hosted a public information event in Drumquin on Wednesday, the 22nd of October. The event was an opportunity for residents and stakeholders to view details of the proposal, speak directly with members of the project team and share their feedback. They say the event was very well attended and they'd like to thank everyone for their time and engagement. The feedback, they say, will now be reviewed and considered by the project team. In addition to the event, a dedicated project website is available where information about proposal is shared and feedback can be submitted online. Right, okay, so that's their reaction to it. They're planning it. They haven't submitted the planning. The positives that they talk about, I don't think our guest yesterday would have disputed. Reduce the carbon footprint. Fantastic. Less CO2s, more business rates, super stuff. But their concerns was living beside it, right? So that's not necessarily addressed there as such. But the company are keen to point out, and I want to be and have to be fair, they're keen to point out that there is a consultation there and it's a meaningful one. Right, I'm going to be speaking to Dominic Carlin after this break. I'm now joined on the programme by Dominic Carlin from Strabane. Good morning, Dominic.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Brilliant stuff. And just to let listeners know, quite remarkably, between us, me and you, Dominic, we've run 29 marathons. Remarkable we've achieved that, isn't it?
29 marathons to date, yeah.
Yeah. How many have you done?
And hopefully, if everything goes well, I run the 30th marathon on Sunday.
Yeah, the 30th marathon on Sunday is a very, very important one, isn't it? And Rory, obviously, yeah, forever in your thoughts, but... you're using this marathon as an opportunity to talk about Rory and his situation. I don't want to ask a leading question. Can you tell us about Rory and his story as much as you're comfortable in doing so, Dominic?
Well, sadly, we lost Rory on the 7th of May, 23. Rory was a very lovable son, very outgoing. But sadly, when down that road, he started taking drugs. Yes, we were worried about him, Craig, but there's only so much a parent can do. You know, you can advise your son, daughter, whatever, to please don't go down that road, but when they're going into the environment of the town or going out, you know, peer pressure is there, and all it takes is that one drug to get addicted.
And that is it. It's not always just a free choice. Is it? It's the proliferation of drugs. They're everywhere. It's the pressures you mentioned to try them. And it's, you know, those that are dealing them want you to become dependent and they will go to great lengths to ensure so. So this is a message for all young people, all older people and families, mums and dads as well. This could land on anyone's door.
Yeah. You never think it's going to come to your own door, Craig, but sadly, it came to our door. And that's why I was determined to do something positive in Roy's memory. This marathon, obviously, I will be running in Roy's memory, along with anybody else that's lost their lives to addiction. And doing so, we will be raising funds for the local Corn Centre for them to continue on with the good work that they've been doing over the last couple of years. With the help of the campaign and with the help of the local people and business people in Strabane, who have helped me raise £165,000 through different events. You know, we've started off here on the Belfast Marathon. We've done Mount Argyll. We've done a number of different concerts. We've done swimming events. We've done an ultra marathon from Strabane to Downings. And this is the last event, you know, one of the last events is... the marathon now on Sunday.
It's the big push is on.
The big push is on. But, you know, the money is going to a great cause, the Corn Centre in Strabane, to do great work. We've used that money for education programs, you know, around the local colleges, the schools. Mm. We had an Open Minds Youth Wellbeing event in a local Melbourne hall where the guts of 400 pupils came from the different colleges and schools. Really, just they make them aware of the dangers of taking drugs. And
well, that's what I was going to say, Dominic, because
let
really
them know that there is people out there.
Yeah.
If you are in Baller, know they reach out. You know, we have different services there.
Yeah, I think it takes a broader,
it's so
wider...
important they let people know that.
And it takes a broader, wider community policing political response too, because, you know, there are people using their backgrounds, using intimidation to sort of really keep operating in plain sight. And it's not they themselves that be operating in plain sight, of course. It's the other potential, you could argue, victims of the drugs trade. You know, the young people that they try and sell a lifestyle to or intimidate them into doing the dealing.
Yeah, that is true in some cases. Very true. But the big boys, you know, they're lying back in the houses and selling young people out to sell these drugs.
Dominic, when was the last marathon that you ran?
My last marathon was in Belfast in May.
Okay, right. So you would stay then relatively, just in terms of your own personal preparation, would you sort of almost be two-thirds of the way there, marathon ready all of the time then?
Well, we've done a marathon there, three-quarter marathon in Ballinafray. On the setup of Eunan Quinn.
Right.
And that's like an annual event, you know,
yeah.
Three quarter marathon, it's nearly 20 miles. So you would be kind of, anybody, like I would run a couple of marathons a year, you would kind of be ready to do a marathon at any time, you know.
Yeah.
And what pace you would be fit enough to do it on is a different matter.
Yes, indeed.
But I'm going to Dublin this year, they run it and try it and enjoy the event from the Fourth Marathon.
Yeah,
it's not about time for me. It's about creating awareness
exactly.
to the young people.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, there is rain predicted if you don't finish it at a certain speed. Hopefully you finish in the dry, Dominic. But listen, I think it's great what you're doing.
Well, we have to look at the positives. Rain, though. Yeah, it'll keep us cool.
Right, that's it, isn't it? I need to take a leaf out of your book. Listen, thanks for helping us to get to know Rory a little bit and remembering him with you. It's astonishing what you've done. £165,000 so far, and hopefully more to come for your efforts on Sunday, but also telling us about the Coram Centre and, you know, the reality that we never know when something like this could visit our doorsteps as well. So good luck on Sunday, isn't it? It is on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Well done, Dominic. Thanks so much, Dominic Carlin there from Strabane. His 30th marathon. I've never run one, of course. And remembering his son, Rory, who passed away at age 22 in May of 2023. And he's running that marathon in his memory. Right, let us get to some more of your comments there. Here, in the good weather, when restaurants and pubs have seating outside, I feel they take advantage and put too many tables and chairs. Surely there's a limit. I don't think this is fair to visually impaired people in wheelchairs. Just my opinion, thank you. Yeah, we did talk about that, and we were talking yesterday about the accessibility of Donegal for people who are disabled or have a disability, if I could put it like that, or visually impaired. Right, one of your contributors this morning said the Irish who went abroad went over to work. This is a very naive view. People left for various reasons, many for work, some were who were unable to access mental health services here, survivors of institutions who wouldn't be employed in Ireland, and there are those who go to England and demand to be housed as if it is their rights. There is a multitude of reasons why people have left Ireland, and that's one of the first times I've kind of heard it articulated like that, so it's interesting, thank you. Greg, using a pencil can be rubbed out, a pen can't. That's the ballot paper I'm talking about. Yeah, it's about who's actually going to rub your pencil out. You would have to do it on such a scale to influence an election. And the ballot boxes are watched by the Gardaí so tight. I don't actually believe, and I don't, this sounds terrible, I don't believe we have an organisation in the States that would be capable of organising that, to be honest with you. If you think there is, by all means, use a pen, but I just can't see it. In relation to the riots, hi, Greg, I would agree with the protest at the City West, but the only downside is every man and woman should have been there. What happened in this country, but the old silly Irish just sits back and take everything. This government should have never been allowed back in again. They have the country destroyed, believes that listener. In my opinion, and it's shared by many of my Irish citizens, it's that the majority of we, the Irish, don't want to see a large Muslim population establishing itself here in Ireland. And it doesn't matter what country they come from. If we look to places like England, France, Germany and more, we can see the problems with integration, etc. On voting, it's a scandalous that so many schools are closed and used for voting when we've so many community hall spaces that are probably more suitable. Yeah, that's true, actually. Probably a bit of a pain in the neck. I didn't twig that because there's a few young people around me and they're off today and I just thought they were taking their holidays a little bit earlier. I never actually even considered that, so there you go. And my own son off this morning for that very reason, now that I reflect. Not good that I shouldn't have made that connection. Good morning, Greg. The result of this Soldier F case brings back the distinct memory of PM David Cameron's words. It was wrong and I am sorry. That day was effectively the road to the Good Friday Agreement. This makes it a mockery of all that. The problem is that we have had people who were framed for crimes who the judiciary or those that pull the strings just wanted them convicted, and they spent years and years in prison, and we had to fight to get those convictions overturned. And unfortunately, miscarriages of justice happen all of the time. Whether or not people believe or know or feel they know whether this person was guilty or not guilty, and the court found them not guilty, the judge can only consider the law, and he can only consider the evidence in front of him, how reliable that evidence is, and whether that evidence reaches the bar that we would all want required for a conviction. So it's a shallow, given the judge's comment, a shallow victory, I think, for anyone charged with those crimes from back then. But the law is the law, and sometimes it works against and obviously sometimes for. Re-asylum seekers, like all people, some are great workers and some are good for nothing. I've worked for 50 years in this country and yet I'm entitled to very little. The thing is, you see, what we have to figure out, I think, in this country to some extent as well, is the majority of people coming here from overseas are either they can move freely within Europe because they're European citizens, or they have come here on work visas. Then there are those who are genuinely fleeing persecution. And then there are those that, you know, so to say, well, it's a decent life in Ireland, you're well looked after. The problem is that are we concerned about people coming here for the wrong reasons and exploiting the state? Or are we concerned about anyone coming here that might look a little bit different to us? You know what I mean? And that's the real one of the things that's going on in this country. Are you talking about, you know, when you say you don't want certain cultures coming in here or you don't want people, are you talking about the group of individuals that might be coming over here as sort of, you know, for the finances and just to cream off the state? Or are you talking about everyone that's black or brown? You know, and that's really a conversation that needs to be had across Ireland and where we're at as a people and you know, where that came me to falter, or that welcoming spirit, or those welcomes that are extended to us, and so on and so forth. You know, all the lines are being blurred there. If that makes any sense at all, if you understand what I'm saying, 086 60 25,000. Well, Shannon isn't here. She's on Holly Bob's. She's not here to keep me and you guys up to date with what's happening across social media. But we have a very good deputy. It's Deputy Donna Marie Doherty, and she's going to be joining me after these messages. Donna Marie Doherty has our social media roundup. You're not going to embarrass me like that other doll, are you? Sorry, I'm trying to get you in frame here. I can't do everything. You've already embarrassed me.
I'll do my very best.
Right, okay. Now, let's find out what the story is with this fake baby scandal. What's this?
Yes, this has been doing the rounds on TikTok. So it has, and it's from a wee village in Scotland. And a girl called Kira has been exposed, I suppose. She had an elaborate 9-month journey where she planned a pregnancy. And it resulted then with her faking the death of the child. So I suppose it all sort of kicked off back in February, and she started posting like did a wee pregnancy announcement. She was sharing baby bump photos, scans, videos that showed her belly kicking. So it was all very intricate.
So it was all a scam?
I personally think that it might have just been that she's a bit unwell.
So she was looking for attention, because I'm seeing a video of her here and the baby bump's incredibly low.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, if I were there, I'd be going...
Very lifelike.
You know, I don't know. Is it
lifelike? So?
I don't think so.
Boys carry low. No?
Well, so they say, and half the time they're right. What's the bitten reaction? Either is there legal consequences? Obviously there's going to be an online backlash.
No, there's been massive online backlash. Like, she had a gender reveal. People brought presents. Her family paid £1,000 for a pram.
Oh, God.
But people are saying that that could go down as some kind of a fraud charge or, you know, theft. But as well, a lot of people want the dad to go for emotional damage because he didn't know. But this went on for 4 months after the baby was allegedly born. So after the baby was born, she used a reborn doll, which is those lifelike dolls. And apparently it had like a feeding mechanism in it, or so I've seen on TikTok anyway. So he fed this doll thinking it was a baby.
She does need some help, doesn't she?
Yes. Yeah. So there's a big split on TikTok. Some people are saying that she obviously needs help, and other people are like, no, jail. So a lot of her people who would have been with her at the time have also come out.
I think people need to be careful of her potential vulnerability there. But then again, you see, you can't always use vulnerability or mental health as an excuse, because there's lots of people walk around every day with mental health issues that aren't faking pregnancies. So it's one of those, isn't it?
It is, but police in Scotland have done out and they've done welfare checks, but there's no official criminal charges so far.
All right. It would be nice to know who might turn up at your funeral, what they might say about you. One person's gone to great lengths in relation to this.
It's been a bit of a wild week, so it has, in terms of life milestones and whether they're actually happening or not. So Mohanlal is 74 and he is a veteran of the Indian Air Force. And he's very well known in the area that he's from. He's very big into charity. I think he bought or donated the funds for a new crematorium after he saw people that weren't able to grieve properly. And it got him to thinking, who would come to my funeral? And he posted on his social media, we're sad to share the news that Mohanlal is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Planned his funeral, and in this culture, the body lies on, it kind of looks a bit like a gurney or a stretcher, and is carried in. So he was lying, posing as a corpse, and as they got to the crematorium, he sat up. There was hundreds of mourners there, including his two sons, but everybody was really happy that he was alive. He got no backlash. Everybody was very, happy about it.
Hopefully he woke up. Imagine if he fell asleep and ended up in the crematorium. There was a story, there was a film once. I don't think, is this disturbing? I don't think it is. A TV show once, and it stuck with me for ages. I couldn't sleep for ages. But it was a person in prison and they wanted to escape prison. Mm. And the way they would go into escape prison is they, there was prison guards, and the prison guards lived on site in the prison, okay? So they made this arrangement with the prison guard that they would fake their death. Okay, they would be buried. Right. Okay, but they had stuff in the coffin with them to survive for a short period of time. They would be buried, and then the prison guard would come out, exhume them, and this would be their escape mechanism. Okay.
Okay. So a bit of coming.
So then obviously the story progresses and what have you. So the person is in the coffin with another deceased person. Actually, sorry, they weren't to die themselves. They were actually, what they did is in the prison, they snuck into a coffin. That's it. They snuck into a coffin.
Right. Okay.
And then they were to be buried. This sounds horrible, right? But they were to be buried, and then the prison guard would come and dig them up, and then they would escape.
Okay.
So cut to the confines of his coffin, and the person is there, and they're out of about 5 or 6 hours of air or whatever, and they take a lighter out of their pocket, right, and they spark the lighter, and who's in the coffin with them? The prison guard has to dig them up.
Oh.
I know.
That sounds like an awful film.
I might have made it up. Maybe I should say I've made it up.
Get the IP on it.
What's the do you get tax breaks for writing a book, Caroline? Is there advantages? Is that why there's so many books? Okay. right, okay. So, Strictly host.
Yes, Tess and Claudia are hanging up their dancing shoes.
Oh.
they put out a video yesterday, a very odd video, and for ITV, I think somebody could have went to the effort of wiping the lens.
Yeah, let's have a listen to... I don't want to be personal, right, but Claudia, I'm here, some have no hair, but that fringe, it must be so annoying, it's constantly in her eyes, mm-hmm. And bouncing off her eyelashes and stuff.
It's a bit uncanny valley, I think. It's a bit uncanny valley.
Don't get me wrong, I shouldn't say anything, but
here we go. 5 seconds ago, and a lot of that time, there's been some rumblings, and we want you to hear this from us.
Yeah, we have news.
Children were literally fainting on, and now they're joyful years. On Strictly, we have decided that the time is right to step aside and pass over the baton.
The very sparkly baton. You've been here since the beginning.
2004.
And then they go on to blow smoke up each other's, up each other for a while. Ray Darcy didn't get that joy, unfortunately.
It was an odd video because they, you know, their TV, they spent the whole time like with their faces maybe 2 inches away from each other. You know, it was really close. I don't know. I thought that video was a bit odd, but I really enjoyed the comments on it. Somebody was like, couldn't they have waited until Strictly ended to make the announcement? It feels like they're taking attention away from the performers. And then the whole speculation of who's going to get the job. So the first comment I saw was, as long as it's not Alan Hammond doing the hosting. And then the next one is, Alan Hammond should host it, or Alison Hammond should host it.
Oh, Alison, yeah.
She'd be
probably
crack.
End up being that Bradley Buck and his son. He seems to be presenting anything. Right. Can we jump to Misheard World? Did you invent this? Oh, no, I saw this. Right. I'm going to watch this for the first time because I cringe so hard. Do we listen to it first?
You can listen to it. There's a bit of a gap in the middle where you'll just hear awkward silence.
Okay. 1 second.
Is Miss Grand Haribai.
Let's go back again.
Next in is Miss Grand Haribai.
Oh no, the wrong girl's walking up. Is he going to say it?
Congratulations, Sue!
Oh, she's looking for people to cheer. The cameraman doesn't know what to do. Donna Marie. I don't know what to do. I keep taking your mic down and I'll leave it up.
He's looking at Canada.
I beg your pardon. I announced Miss Grand Paraguay.
Did he? Oh, no. What's going to happen to Panama? Did she get through?
No. No, she didn't.
There's a lot of noise in this hall.
And she just walked back.
She just had a walk on back.
Is it just me or do they all look the same?
They do. She took it like a champ, though. You know, like she put up a statement then. She was like, "These things happen. It was a mistake. You have to know how to lose and recognize the triumph of others."
Good stuff, good girl.
But then somebody commented, "This is me at the doctors whenever they think they've said my name."
Oh, so true. Me when I go up to book into a hotel and I'm always not confident that that's the hotel I should be in because it's always such a long, laborious procedure.
Yeah.
Time for one quickie.
Okay. Kneecap, maybe?
Go on then.
Kneecap were in Leo's Tavern in Crawley last night.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, one third of them anyway. Nisha O'Tarion.
Did they start off there?
DJ Provy is from Derry and he used to gig there a lot.
Shannon had a story about them. I can't remember exactly what it was.
I think they go there for downtime, so they do. But it was Mowgli Blap was there anyway, and he's in the photo.
Which one is he?
Let me double check that. Nisha.
Yeah, but I don't know which one it is in the picture.
He's kind of the short one.
Right, okay. I can rule out quite a few who it is.
Yes, yeah. I think there's a girl wearing a kneecap jumper directly in front of him.
Thank you so very much for that, Donna Marie. Yes. And brilliant for them. Listen, thank you. Have a fantastic day, everyone. That's where we have to leave it for the show this week. We'll be back with you on Tuesday because it's a bank holiday Monday. I'll be back actually tomorrow at 12 live from the Aura Leisure Centre. And check out our social medias because we're climbing Errigal to help raise funds for that DFib as well.